Welcome to Design Oracles. We are here to pontificate, evangelize, and educate you on residential interior design and architecture.
I'm Amity Worrell, interior designer of Amity Worrell & Company.
And I'm Diane Kett, architect of DK Studio and together partners at Amity Kett.
Welcome to Design Oracles. Today,
we're going to talk about my three favorite patterns from Pattern Language.
Okay. So you might not know this, people, but Diane has favorite patterns and she's going to share with us today. And I think I'm learning that I need to go back and figure out what my favorite patterns are. So today is about Diane's favorite patterns.
So I went to undergraduate at University of Maryland. Go Terps. And what was great about that school was how much they taught us about just basic design. I mean, I was really great at that. And then for graduate school, I went to Texas A&M University, and they offer a PhD program in architecture. So they focus a lot on the value of research in design, which is what I mostly learned and gained the most knowledge from there. And that's where I discovered this pattern language book. And so when I started reading it and I would read some of these patterns, it was just like, whoa, wow. Oh my gosh. So it starts, it's kind of intuitive to people, but then, you know, these folks went and studied it and actually then kind of listed it. And so it was really kind of aha moment. Yes.
Yeah. This is what I love
and design
about what
happens.
We do, right? Like you learn what you know what you love and you start studying it and then you start recreating it. And then you see people's behavior in those spaces and what they love and it reinforces what you love. And then these people have studied it and feed it back to you. And it's just so interesting to have that opportunity to be validated too about things that you like and why.
Is that what it is? Validation.
It's about validation, I think. So yeah, so tell us your first
favorite.
All right.
So my very first one is light on two sides of a room. So when I first read this, I thought, that's interesting. And I thought, well, yeah, when I think about at being in a house, I was thinking about the house I grew up in, the houses I like to go to, the rooms I like to be in, and then starting to think about all the different places I've lived, all the different places I've been in, I'd realize, wow, yeah, basically you want windows on two sides of a room, and it really does make the room feel so much better. And it, even if it's just one window on one wall and two or three windows on the other, it just creates this such better quality of light.
And it's something that you're thinking of describing here as natural light too. And I know, just as an aside, as an interior designer, then when we do end up with a room that doesn't have natural light on two sides, it's more challenging to light the room. It can be done. We can figure out a way to make the room feel cozy, but it's really nice when there's windows on two sides.
And that's because you end up kind of leaving a part of the room not lit. And you also create a massive amount of glare. And you also end up with these dark surfaces. So you have these really bright areas and these dark surfaces, and then you've got glare.
So it's the contrast, too, in the space. So, yeah, we've all been in that room where it's like the light's coming in really strongly from one area, and then there are dark corners. You kind of don't know where to be, what's comfortable, where to sit. You want to avoid the light, but you also want to avoid the dark. So filling in, I just know from photography, too, so my husband does photography, watching him fill in spaces with, you know, man-made light to make rooms feel filled in and the shadows in the right places and not, you know, is kind of interesting. So that this is done naturally. And you said it's parallel walls particularly?
So the best is actually perpendicular.
Oh, sorry,
the best quality is perpendicular. I actually hadn't said it yet, but you can also do parallel if you can't get the perpendicular. And even, you know, and I think part of it is also, you know, thinking about north, south, east, west, and all those different qualities of light that come from each of those directions and how then, you know, we talked a little bit about connection to the earth in our last podcast about outdoor rooms. And so I feel like orientation with natural light also connects us to the earth. And that's just being inside and thinking about, you know, the sunrise, the sunset. It's the hottest time of the day, or you're facing north. You never get any direct sun. And so thinking about that, and that's what adds to this amazing arrangement of daylight in a room. And so if you can have two walls of it, then you're getting all of that. Now, let's say sometimes you have these plans and it's really floor plans, or you've got these lots and it's hard to achieve that. Sometimes you can just bump out a little bit of that room to then get another window on the other side.
Yeah. And I love, you know, when you do those corner windows, that's another good way to do it. I recently was meeting with a client and I had saw an opportunity for that and thought about how it was going to make that room feel bigger, more expansive in one direction. But yeah, I didn't think about the fact that it would add light on two walls too, but it did feel right. That's the part where it's like intuitively I knew that it needed light from both directions, but didn't think about it as kind of a pattern rule. So interesting.
And I've got a house right now where it's kind of a 1960s ranch and we're remodeling it. We're actually kind of celebrating the ranch, but those ranch houses had these rooms along this long corridor that then had just windows on one side and they looked at a fence. And so we've actually bumped out these two bedrooms to then create, we had a little bit of space, just 5 feet, to bump them out so we could get windows on either end. So now they are getting light from both directions and it's going to make the bedrooms feel so much better.
So I have a quick question too that I'm just thinking of. What about adding ceiling light? What do you call it?
The skylights
in some rooms. I mean, perhaps not bedrooms, but in rooms that are dark, would that be a way to address some of that darkness?
I think that helps, but I don't think that you still get that same quality that you're getting on the, what is it, vertical walls, rather than the horizontal plane. Because sometimes that can still be really harsh light coming from the horizontal plane. And also you have to keep those really clean.
Leaves
and stuff.
I've also seen recently a few kitchens I liked. I noticed that they had a wall of windows on one side, and then there was no other opportunity for a window coming from on one of the other vertical walls. So they popped the ceiling up and then just had clear story windows along the ceiling. And that created sort of beams of light coming into the space. And then they had a window treatment on the lower windows. So that did seem to be kind of maybe both of these are in northern climates where I think sunlight is at a premium and they wanted to take advantage of that. So is that something too that you can do?
Yeah, definitely. We just did a house from one of the builders we work with a lot. And they had this house that we ended up remodeling it. And it was really long and no windows. And we created this really great open space in the kitchen. We had a whole wall of cabinets and then it ended up being wall with only windows on one side. So we put windows, clerestory, up above the cabinet height to the ceiling.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And that really creates such a wonderful quality of light coming
in. Makes
the
space feel bigger and brighter and
taller.
Yeah. I love that. So as you're saying that, I do live in a ranch style house with one corridor, long corridor with windows, two of the rooms, just on two sides. And the way that I have addressed that is to create, one's a bedroom, so it's not a room that anyone really spends time in during the day, and that might be why. But also the other I've turned into, just kind of intuitively made it a nighttime room. It's for television watching and for evening. So that's just, I've lit them very well. They have good light in every corner, but they've been much more of a struggle.
Of course you have.
Of course I have.
Yeah, we did our lake house in Vermont. We were able to redesign it, and we have windows on three sides of almost every bedroom room in that house.
That's great.
So you really never have to turn on the lights during the day, and it actually has low ceilings in that house, really low, because we have very strict height restrictions, and it just makes it feel, I don't know, je ne sais quoi, I guess, right? It just makes you feel so comfortable in it. So it's just such an important thing. And now that I have told you this, you are going to notice it all the time. Really, people are generally half aware of this because, of course, you're not thinking about it so much, but you will start to notice this now that I said that, even when you go in other people's houses.
I want to say one other thing that I do have a preference for northern light coming in. Because I like that sort of soft light. I think that comes from living in Texas and central Texas where we have all this blasting sunlight. The northern light tends to be a little bit softer. And I do find that when I look at photography or see houses in climates that have a lot of that pretty soft northern light, I think it's very pretty. So thinking about where you put windows in your climate and for where your house is positioned on the lot makes a big difference as well.
Yeah, so of course, smaller buildings is easier to do with the houses on two walls. The larger ones a little trickier.
I was telling Diane earlier I had a studio space at one point that had windows on four walls. It was basically a treehouse. It had But yeah, basically windows on four walls. And it was great. I didn't have proper window treatments and everything faded that I had in there because the light was just constantly coming in. It was more like a greenhouse. But it was very, very pleasant to be in during the day because it was surrounded by trees and there was a lot of natural light and it was a workspace. So,
were you going to ask me a question? I can't remember.
No, I don't think. Oh, I was. I was going to ask you what your second of your three favorite patterns
was. Oh, okay. Yeah.
If you're ready to tell us.
So my second one is the 6-foot balcony.
As opposed to?
3, 4, 2.
Smaller. Okay. As opposed to smaller. Yeah.
Yeah.
So is that like a standard depth that is what feels comfortable for people? And then is there one that gets too large?
I don't think I've ever read about one that gets too large, but basically I think this also just pertains more to balconies, the idea of balcony, which is usually hanging off of a wall, maybe on the second or third floor. Or, you know, so we see these big giant condo towers being built. And in the city of Austin, there's a rule that you have to have so much square feet of outdoor space to all of those. So these towers are way up in the sky, and I look at them, and they all have these balconies hanging off them that are like 3 feet. There isn't even, well, maybe some of them will have a chair or something, but, and I never see anyone standing out there on them. Now, granted, you're thousands of feet up in the air, probably wouldn't want to stand out there, but the idea is you just don't really want to hang out in them. Now, there's that Four Seasons condo tower where you worked on, I think, a project or two.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you have noticed. So one of the great things about their balconies is they're partially set into the building, which then makes them deeper, which gives you that 6 feet or maybe 8 feet. And within the 6 feet, it's because you're able to arrange furniture so that you can have a conversation or you could get a lounge chair out there.
And actually, the one we worked on has a full 2 seating areas, 2 sofas with 2 lounge chairs, and then a giant dining table in the center with 12 chairs around it. And they all fit comfortably in a very small one bedroom off of a very small one bedroom condo.
Uh-huh.
So that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that, but that's true. It is because it's set in. Almost the entire dining room overlooks it.
And in the pattern they talk about, that's one of the keys also, is to kind of recess it a little bit within the building.
Interesting.
Because again, you don't want to be just hanging out there or right out on the street, right?
It feels too exposed.
You feel exposed.
Cantilevered it over the street.
You don't feel connected to the earth. Mm-hmm. You know. Intimacy gradient's definitely gone.
Absolutely.
So that's part of the big piece of the 6-foot balcony.
Yeah, and this is another moment where it's interesting to think about what Diane and I get to do is help people understand their own behavior and the way they're going to act in a space that we create for them. And, you know, if we're telling a client, we can do this, but you're not going to use it. We can take a window off of a wall. We can make your balcony shorter. Maybe it's to save money or whatever it is, but you're not going to use it. You're not going to feel as comfortable on it. It's not going to house furniture comfortably. So this is just, it's nice to be validated that some of these things have been studied because, you know, over time you do learn these things just from your studies and from watching people. So. All right. So what is your...
Sometimes we can't get the 6-foot balcony just because of some limitations, existing conditions, just size limitations. So sometimes, you know, we'll go to 4-foot is usually kind of then the smallest I'll go. So then you can still get at least 2 chairs and a table next to each other to be able to have a conversation.
And maybe that's where what we talked about on our other podcast, creating some sort of a green wall or some sort of maybe you wrap your balcony in some bamboo material or put plant pots up or something to kind of create walls so that you feel anchored. If you're not inset into the space and you're sort of hanging out there on 4 feet of space, if you can in some way add corners, add walls, then you can feel connected.
Yeah, and you can even add some trellis pieces also help. So exactly, doing all of that helps create that outdoor space. So if you can't get the 6 feet, try to get 4.
Yeah, get a wall.
All right. And then the third one is ceiling height variety. Another aha moment. So what's so great is that they just studied all this and kind of stuff we intuitively know and got validated. Yeah, here I am getting validated again with ceiling height variety.
Yay. So tell us about what that means. What does ceiling height variety mean? You mean?
So you want to have different ceiling heights within the space. So you might walk into your foyer and maybe it's low, and then you come into the living room and it's taller, and you go into the bedrooms and it's lower, or maybe the kitchen is somewhere in between, or maybe the kitchen is tall. Just that whole level of variation. You go outside to your outdoor room and it's maybe trellised and it's at an 8-foot height, but you've just stepped out of the living room that's 12.
Right, right. So, yeah, and I think, you know, we're constantly telling clients, you know, everybody wants tall ceilings, and they think they want every room to have tall ceilings, but they don't. They actually don't. You want that variation so that you can, maybe as Diane said, you walk into a small low foyer so that when you pass through to the living room, you get a grander kind of experience where the ceiling pops up and goes higher. And then maybe it drops again as you pass into the kitchen, so you have a little bit quieter, more intimate feeling space for the family to be in. And then maybe it pops up again when you go into the dining, the formal dining, if it's a grander space or something like that, to kind of create variety and in that intimacy gradient and that experience of being with different types of people in different types of spaces.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm going to quote him in the book. He said, "A building in which the ceiling heights are all the same is virtually incapable of making people comfortable."
That's right. Hallelujah.
So, you know, low ceilings create intimacy, right? These are just kind of basic things we know. High ceilings create more of a formality. I mean, if we think about some of those Palladian villas, right? Those big entertainment rooms, parlors, the living rooms are really high, and then other little smaller seating areas are lower. In fact, I'm doing a house right now where we're raising the ceiling in the living and dining to 11. And then we have another room that's off the front, which was originally a game room. And when we started our demolition, we realized there's a whole bunch of issues. We can't raise the ceiling that high. So we're actually keeping it lower at about 9 feet. And she said, well, that's good because I want this to be more of an intimate seating area. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be a game room anymore. It's going to be where more quiet, private conversations can happen.
Mm-hmm. I love
that. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. And I think you were talking to me before we started the podcast about that entrance hall moment that people have in a lot of spec homes. Right. Talk to me about that.
Oh, yeah. They create these like two-story tall spaces you walk into and they just feel awful. Or that front porch is like 20 feet tall and it's only 4 feet deep.
Yeah.
And it has some stupid arch. Oops, sorry.
Well, I think as when I'm looking at it from as an interior designer, is it's a huge challenge because a lot of times people don't understand why it doesn't feel right. And it's because it's too tall and it's too small to be as tall as it is. The proportions do not match one another. So they want, they feel as though they have a grand entrance hall, but somehow to them it doesn't feel grand because, you know, and there's no space to put a console table even oftentimes because there'll be a door or a passage off of it. So there's not even a space for a piece of art or a console table or any kind of an entry feel because all of the volume of the space is going up. There's no left to right, front and back. It's all up. And so the best thing we can do is maybe hang a beautiful pendant or chandelier that has to drop about 25 feet from the ceiling to reach. So it just creates a challenge to make it feel comfortable and cozy. And then there's also eye experience that your eye doesn't know where to go when you go into those spaces. You look up immediately and then maybe you see
and then
see
you
want to
run out because it feels awful.
You want to turn and run or you it tends to be confusing. It genuinely is a confusing moment for people as opposed to
she feels so uncomfortable.
Yeah. And you don't know where to go. And there's the openings tend to be too large off of them as well. And then it's just an uncomfortable experience. So
I remember someone had told me that their parents had one of those and he did a lot of hunting, so that's where all the trophies were hung.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like, remember that Far Side cartoon where they showed the tall wall with all the trophies?
So we have opinions here on Design Oracle. So I will say I also find the most challenging space to do a furniture plan for are living rooms that have that same experience of a massively tall space, but that's not proportionately wide enough or deep enough to house the furniture. So it's sort of a big voluminous space that goes straight up, but not enough room even for one or two sofas or chairs to sit in front of maybe the fireplace that's there or to gather. And I will have clients be very frustrated and struggle. And they say, my house is so large. Why am I not comfortable here? Why is it not enough space? And it's because the space is vertical, not how you actually use it.
Yeah, because you want the height related to the length and breadth of the mm-hmm. room. It's a whole problem of proportion.
Correct.
Proportion is always so key. And I mean, Palladio, the Japanese architecture rules, there's all these old steadfast rules about the proportions of rooms and how to make them feel good. Although now there are some that have extremely low ceilings, like I was talking about the lake house in Vermont because of restrictions. So we actually have there are some slightly varying ceiling heights, mm-hmm. but not all that noticeable. But it still feels good. But then again, we've got all the windows on two or three sides of the room. So I think that helps deal with that. But sometimes we go in those cozy cottages and that all still feels good. And there's some more informal homes that have low ceilings and they can still be pretty
pleasant.
Yeah,
and I'm kind of fascinated with ceiling heights as it relates to acoustics, and partially because I'm getting old and everything sounds loud to me. Restaurants are loud and clanky and I can't hear other people talk. And so I was reading about a lot of mid-century homes and houses and how to make them feel so comfortable and cozy. And one of the things that people are drawn to in their grandma's house is how they could hear each other talk. And the ceilings were a little lower acoustically. It's more comfortable. It didn't feel as grand, which made for intimate relationships. And intimate conversation and comfortable being. And so I guess the thing to think about is not that it's not a good thing to have tall ceilings. It is a very good thing. It can make a space feel grander and bigger and bring in more light and give you opportunity for windows. But every space doesn't need to be like that. Maybe a bedroom can have a little bit lower ceiling, or mm-hmm. maybe a secondary bedroom, at least the master could still have a nice tall mm-hmm. ceiling. So it's more just that I'm not advocating for one or the other, but something to think about and about proportion. What is the length and breadth of the room before you just take the ceiling all the way
up?
Yeah,
I mean, constantly when we're designing and laying out spaces and we're constantly looking, okay, well, then what ceiling height would that give us? 15? No, that's too tall for that space. Can we drop it another foot? Or how do we get to 12? Or, well, we want to get clerestory windows, but we have the porch and we want to make that ceiling lower. So constantly all of us architects in my offices are always talking about that and studying it in great, great detail, mm-hmm. which by the time we present to the client, I have no idea that we spent so much head time in that.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, just, you know, coming at it from an interiors perspective. Sometimes some of the things we ask for or want or the clients want, we don't have an understanding of how it's going to change the exterior and what the elevations are going to look like outside if we change proportions in rooms, and is it going to feel disjointed and connected? So disconnected. So that connection of like how to, you know, I have a client right now who has an older home, a 1980s home, very special house, actually beautiful beams that run through the dining room and into the kitchen, and they're massive and they drop quite low, and the rest of the house has very tall ceilings and it's two-story and it's open all the way through and there's a lot of glass. So the kitchen is a little more intimate and lower. We have taken the ceilings up, but we want to put the beams back, keep them, took them down, cut mm-hmm. them down a little, and then put them back. Mm. Not an inexpensive endeavor, but yeah. worth it, I think, because they feel very original. And we had this exact kind of negotiation and conversation at that renovation is it going to feel too low? And we landed on that is the point. If it's a little lower, you will have more of a romantic intimate feeling in the formal dining area off the kitchen versus what you have in the great room, which is more for larger entertaining. And so anyway, these are just things to think about, that a lot of thought does go into it, and it's not a knee-jerk reaction like you see on a lot of these flip shows where it's take the ceilings up, take the ceilings up. It might initially feel right, but it or look right, but it doesn't feel good to live in.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times if we're remodeling or doing a new house, I talk about what is it you want to be doing in these spaces? Do you entertain a lot? Do you have big family gatherings? And so again, thinking about proportion. So if you're going to have more people in those spaces, and if it can be a taller space they're gathering, I think that lends a whole lot better. Because one thing is that the ceiling height can be related to the social distance between people in a room. It relates to their relative intimacy. So like in a high ceiling, people seem further apart than they actually are. So when you have a lot of people in there, it can make it feel like it's actually a bigger room than it is.
Interesting. So that's also watching how people behave in those spaces when there are tall ceilings. Are you saying they stand in different locations? They sort of relate differently or?
Maybe, I guess. I mean,
how are you going to behave in this room? Whereas, because I do find that in a lot of houses where someone has renovated and maybe taken out all of the walls mm-hmm. and then taken the ceilings up really high, when you know I don't approve mm-hmm. of taking out all the walls. But I do feel that people gather in the corners of the rooms.
Yeah, they start trying to create
to create nooks and crannies and places to be, and they do it with their behavior. And a good furniture plan can do that as well, if you've given people places to be. Otherwise, they all gather around the island in the kitchen because it feels it's anchoring. So sometimes a little bit of a wall or a lower ceiling or a really great furniture layout just gives people a place to be and feel anchored. You want to throw a lot of nice anchors out there for people.
Yeah. I also just think if you have a lot of people in a room and it's taller, then you're not necessarily feeling claustrophobic these people are in there. So we've got the big Christmas gathering of 26 mm-hmm. people. It might not, even though if you were in that same room and it had an 8-foot tall ceiling as opposed to a 12-foot, it would probably feel pretty awful and you'd just be like, I've got to get out of here. Whereas when it's in the 12-foot ceiling and you have lots of nice natural light on two walls, then it doesn't feel claustrophobic at all.
I love when there's a pitched ceiling and then the lights, like I was mentioning, in the breakfast room. I think that is maybe – I'm going to need to look that up. That might be one of the patterns that I really like, where there's a lot of light coming from up above clear story windows. I do like that because it feels voluminous and nice and big. But, you know, maybe you can have some curtains on the lower windows or something that makes you feel you get both.
Yeah. And things that I love about the clear story windows is seeing the trees and then also the moonlight.
Yeah.
So I also sometimes in bedrooms and sometimes I have people request that is think about because the moon typically rises in the east and then comes around the south, sets in the west, similar to the sun. So thinking about laying out the rooms to then achieve that moonlight.
Well, thank you, Diane.
I was just going to say a little bit more was about climate and culture in regards to ceiling height variety. So sometimes we're looking at the climate of the area, like an igloo is probably only going to be 5 feet tall because you need to try and keep it warm, right?
Right, absolutely.
But like in the desert and some adobe structures, you might have them be a whole lot taller because hot air rises. And also a lot of times they have openings at the top to help clear through
the
space.
Breezes. Mm-hmm.
So sometimes ceiling height variety is related to your local climate. All right. Well, I would just finish off with that one and say it's basically the variation itself is what matters. Not merely the absolute height in a given room, but making sure that you have all that variation. It changes the light quality, the sound quality, and the proportion of you and other people in a space.
Yeah, is that from the Pattern Language?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yep.
We love that book. Well, thank you very much for sharing.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Design Oracles with Amity Worrell, owner of Amity Worrell & Company, and Diane Kett, owner of DK Studio, and together, partners at Amity Kett.